Can a survey change the future? Maybe this one can. Cannabis education is inconsistent at best and missing or misleading at worst. How can we make cannabis education better? What if we ask people who use or are thinking about using cannabis a bunch of questions? What if we ask pharmacists who could be teaching people about cannabis a bunch of questions? And then, what if the answers from those questions were used to help pharmacists teach people about cannabis better? Well, this is exactly what pharmacists as cannabis educators, or PACE, are doing. And PACE needs you to fill out a survey. PACE needs as many people as possible to fill out a survey. PACE needs you to fill out a survey on or before May 12th. This is a limited time offer for you to help change the future of cannabis education. To participate, go to promo.reefermed.ca. That's promo, P-R-O-M-O dot reefermed.ca.
And then you have to have somebody such as themselves or an caregiver to give it to them, which is ludicrous because the nurses in the facilities, at least in the state of California, cannot gift them the cannabis that they need.
There's so many answers that lie dormant within those plants that we have yet to tap.
Hi, this is Biff Naked, and you're listening to the Reefer Madness podcast.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk. We're back.
We are back.
So this will be a little later by the time, first thing, David Traylor and I talk a lot about, you know, him going to Germany. By the time that this, he's coming back from Germany. The other thing that has sort of happened is I've had my youngest son graduate from high school.
Yes. Yes. I'm in my garden, my backyard garden. I hear a whoop, whoop. And Michelle goes, isn't that notifying the start of a parade? Oh, yeah, it's the grad parade today. So we opened up our garage door and found an entire Shufelt family in our front yard.
You did.
Minus one, I guess.
Yeah, so it was me, my parents, my wife, Doris, her mom, her sister, my niece, Doris's niece. Yeah, we were all sort of sitting on along your front yard watching the grad parade go by. It was a long day, you know, convocation, and then parade, and then banquet, and then party.
Well,
but it was good. It was good.
Knew better. You should have knocked on the door. It would have given you some Cossack spirit.
No, then I would absolutely have not made it through my entire day. Normally, that would be lovely, but not on that day in the middle of the afternoon. There's no way I would have made it through the evening. So, yeah, one more kid finished the high school. So. That's a something.
Yeah, that's a milestone. That's a milestone. And he's bought a motorbike.
And he's bought a motorbike.
Okay.
Not high up on my list of things that he should have done, but apparently I get less and less say in what he does now.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to cannabis stuff. Something Dave, I wasn't meaning the segue, but it works well. David Traylor and I have in common that he has a child graduating from high school, or by this point graduated from high school as well. So this is David Traylor from Golden Eagle Partners. So they are an investment firm who I met David through LinkedIn. People I just sort of seem to randomly meet on LinkedIn and ask them things like, hey, got any good cannabis stories? David's turned into a, you know, we should talk about that. And a couple Zoom calls later, I had semi-confusedly, reluctantly agreed to go to Florida to some conference that turned into CanMed 23. And I got to sit on a panel with some super interesting / brilliant cannabis researchers and be in sort of the capital markets part of CanMed 23, where we got to talk sort of cannabis business. And cannabis business is sort of what David and his company are all about.
Yeah, so this is now the last of your CanMed 23 stable of stories, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
So okay, so we had the two with three, four stories each.
Yep.
Then we had Dr. Russo, which sort of stands kind of independent. And then you brought Big Pharma
We talked to Terry O'Regan from Brains Bio, and yeah. You know, they're kind of, I like to think about sort of that that middle ground between research and big industry, where you need to sort of prove that some of these things work in smaller trials, possibly before they go off to an actual pharma company. And they're sort of in that bridging area.
Well, and what I liked about him is I pulled a quote: by modulating the endocannabinoid system can potentially unlock the therapeutic treatment of some of the major diseases in humans are facing. Essentially, a biospec company that's taking the cannabis plant apart so that it can be more palatable to big pharma. Fascinating story, Trevor. Then we brought in another story, not from CanMed, but it was Ryan
Colcott,
and he's a compliance lawyer. He's a specialist in cannabis business compliance, and he defines cannabis by the weight of the THC, and it can't be any more than 0.3 milligrams, and it's hemp. If it's more than that, then it's, in his opinion, it's marijuana. So compliance lawyer, biotech, you got biotech, big pharma, and now you bring in the investment bankers. This gentleman is the founder of Golden Eagles Partners, a leading boutique investment bank serving North America and international public and private companies, venture firms, family offices, sophisticated investors, and entrepreneurs in the cannabis, marijuana, or hemp sector. He essentially underwrites the business plan that the compliance lawyer has got the biotech companies to organize. So you've got yourself a trilogy here of business podcasts.
Yeah, that wasn't really the plan, but it seemed to have worked out well. And like we said off air, you like finding patterns and things. And, you know, these three in a row really seem to have tickled your pattern recognition part of your brain. So hopefully the audience likes that this order as well.
Well, it's again another dense one. It's a Trevor episode. There's a lot of information being shared. But you know, we should get into it, and then we'll come out of it and talk about what we heard from him.
All right, so let's listen to David Traylor. Okay, welcome back everyone to Reefer Madness. On the line today we have David Traylor from Golden Eagle Partners. David, thanks for joining us.
Trevor, thanks for having me.
So David and I met for reals in Marco Island, Florida at CanMed 23. He was nice enough to invite me to sit on a panel with some super smart people, and I didn't sound too dumb at the end of that. So we thought we'd bring him back and pick his brain this time. So David, let's start with, you know, before cannabis, we'll say maybe more in the pharma end of things, you were more in like the biotech sphere, right?
Yes, I was. And actually, Trevor, you know, it's funny that most people that got into cannabis or got into cannabis like yourself have more interesting stories than myself. But yeah, I just very lucky to be where we're at, Trevor. Essentially, we're an investment banking firm. Golden Eagle Partners is the first investment banking firm to jump into cannabis. We did so in late 2013. So we've been doing it in North America and the US for almost 10 years, but also internationally for over seven. Our first Israeli client was in early 2016. But yeah, to my point about just being lucky, Trevor, because this industry, if you really do look at cannabis, cannabinoids, plant-based medicines, it's going more towards biotech and science all the time, right? Yeah. And so to your point, I went to CU Boulder in the 80s. I have two undergrad degrees in science, biochemistry, and molecular biology, and then got into working in biotech companies, companies based in Boulder, Colorado, Berlin, Germany, and Silicon Valley. So I worked for 15 years in operational roles in biotech before I got into investment banking in 2005, and then did biotech deals, Trevor, for a few years, about 7 or 8 years, investment banking. Moved back to Colorado in 2009, doing investment banking, leading the life science group, a group called Headwaters. And then, as you know, In late 2012 was when Colorado and Washington really kind of kicked things off, when the voters in both those states allowed adult use cannabis or marijuana, whatever. You know, we can talk about that nomenclature here in a second. So I was looking at it, Trevor, with my biotech background and being in Colorado, you look at it and cannabis was, is a biological supply chain. It's highly regulated, just like biotech. And when you get down to it, it is a drug. I mean, if you're really looking, for example, CBD, right? According to the FDA, by Epidiolex's definition, by approving Epidiolex, CBD is a drug. So is a lot of the molecules within the cannabis plant. So that's why we jumped into to cannabis.
Excellent. So so you've mentioned a few times Golden Eagle Partners was an investment banking firm. So what are you guys looking for? Are you looking for, the next CBD company, the next people who are, growing an interesting plant? What sort of things are you guys looking for?
That's a good question. So, our brand is one of the more well-known brands, I believe, out there. We, as we mentioned right before jumped on, we were going to be in Berlin a week from today for the second time. But the main thing, I think, what we've been trying to do, Trevor, and whether it's involving, CBD or CBG or CBC or, the entire, whole plant extract with cannabis, we're trying to find, our goal for the last 10 years is find really good capital for really good companies. And like, for example, I didn't mention it, but, in late 2014, I joined Cirna as chief business officer. Cirna was one of our clients, and then they wanted me to join full time. So I kind of put Golden Eagle Partners on hold and jumped into Cirna as their chief business officer. And through that experience, Cirna was one of the first three public companies in the cannabis sector, Trevor. They made climate control systems for indoor grow ops.
Okay.
And realized through that experience, I worked for about a year at Cirna, I realized that it's hard to find really good capital for really good cannabis companies or do really good transactions like M&A or co-development deals or cross-licensing deals. And through that experience at Cirna, I realized that it's not easy for a number of reasons. We can go into that during this conversation, but that's mainly Golden Eagle Partners' edict. And one thing to mention too is, as we mentioned, we've been doing international for over 7 years. The cool thing, Trevor, is that we've recently, this year before we were the lead sponsor, Benzinga, put together a redesigned website. And we realized that we've had cannabis companies with operations on 6 of the 7 continents. So that's, I think, amazing. It's also something that really nobody else can come close to. So we're going around the world finding companies with plant-based medicines. We're also doing we've been working in psychedelics since 2020, but very carefully focused on what we want to do in plant-based medicines, psychopharmacology, and cannabis and cannabinoids, and finding really good capital for companies really doing smart things with those molecules.
Yeah, so let's go down that rabbit hole just a little bit, because the psychedelics now, and depending on where you are, especially in the U.S., what's the best way to call it? Might be sort of borderline legal. You have the problem south of the border that, federally, THC or the majority of the cannabis plant is a prohibited drug. So it must be hard to, I can see why, if I was a company that wants to do research on CBG, why, investors might want to steer away from that, because it's a gray area, the right word. Like, it's not kind of legal, not quite legal, in the in-between, a little bit of more ambiguity than probably most investors are comfortable with.
Yes. Well, I mean, the one thing, this industry is so crazy, as Trevor, is that, I think for an example, too, to start off with one thing we always like to talk about, I mean, it's such a weird, unique industry. The nomenclature's screwy, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, so we're, as I mentioned, with my biochemistry background, we look at cannabis as a genus, right? Cannabis is the genus of the plant. Yep. So to us, cannabis means not marijuana. Cannabis doesn't mean THC. And that's the thing. People both here and in Canada and abroad, they refer to marijuana as cannabis, and it's not from our perspective. We're trying to actually reshape that. And if you look, if people want to look on the Global Investor Forum, which is happening June 27th, we put together the 9 panels with the help of Alex Rogers, who's the main driver on ICBC. He's a, if you don't know Alex, you ought to know Alex because he's a unique individual. He's doing some great stuff for cannabis globally. But if you really do look at the program, we're trying to really to define nomenclature as being essentially THC plus and THC minus.
Okay.
And by looking at it that way, we think it really simplifies things because, for example, you have Delta 8 THC now, Delta 9, Delta 10, and those are different things unto themselves. And then you certainly have like industrial hemp, which we consider to be THC minus. But, you know, there's a whole avenue and opportunity both here and abroad. But getting back to your original question, yeah, here in the U.S., it's not easy because people are mainly looking at the THC plus side. And right now, the THC plus side is, you know, whether you want to call it marijuana or cannabis, however you do it. But if it's, it involves THC, Delta 9 THC, it's pretty tough, right? And we've seen that actually, Trevor, in the fact that a lot of our competition in the last 6 to 9 months, whether it's Roth Capital or Cantor Fitzgerald or Cowen, are out of what they consider to be cannabis because it's just, it's nationally, it's illegal here still. And I think they're frankly looking at it the wrong way. But yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question or not.
No, that's good. I guess we'll loosely call that your competitive advantage that you, and obviously we are very cannabis positive here on this podcast, but it's nice to see somebody with the financial background looking at it in a positive light instead of just, you know, it's THC, I don't want to touch it. I think it's going to be, I'm hoping, again, a little biased, we're kind of hoping that's going to, you know, frankly, make the world a better place because there's lots of good medicine to come out of the cannabis plant.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing I think, Trevor, to your point, and I think you and I saw this at CanMed, which was another great experience, is the fact that these groups and a lot of these people are looking at it in the wrong frame of reference, right? I mean, if you really do look at this, a lot of these different molecules, et cetera, they're amazing molecules. And I think why you and I went to CanMed is I think one of the things that needs to be done is people need to do the real science to all these different, I mean, that's our main goal, I think, to throw this out here and I think help frame this discussion. Our whole idea, and I think you would agree too from your background, Trevor, is that the main goal here in the next 5 to 10 years is the fact you have all these different cannabinoids on one side and then you have all these different indications. Insomnia and anxiety and you name it, and to figure out which of these molecules, whether by themselves or in combination with each other, can be successful to treat a lot of these indications that are intractable.
No, and that's frankly what we're all hoping for now. We could go on that rabbit hole forever. Let's switch gears a little bit. So you've been watching the cannabis industry for a while, and something I kept hearing over and over again in Florida was, you know, well, A, it was just nice for people to know where Canada was. Often when we travel, Canada where? Canada who? But no, at a cannabis conference, everyone knew where Canada was, so that's excellent. But it was, yeah, it was so great, you guys. You legalized federally, that was fantastic, and then money poured into Canada, and then you guys just kind of blew it. There, you know, a whole lot of nothing happened after recreational legalization. So from someone sort of watching the cannabis industry from outside of Canada, where did we blow it? Because yes, a bunch of money did come into Canada, but I will be the first to admit not a lot seemed to have happened after it all poured in.
Yeah, that's a good question, Trevor. Actually, I don't think Canada blew it, actually. I mean, it's, you know, as you know, this is a tough industry. And, you know, one of the things that came out of Florida, too, I'm sure you remember, is the fact that, you know, there's still quite a stigma involving this plant and these molecules that we need to get over the hump. But I think Canada, it's doing better than the U.S. is. But I think one thing that, you know, and I still think this remains true. There's three main points that I brought up when I was in. So we actually, as we mentioned, we've been international, right? So we jumped into, got a deal done with a hemp company in late 2019 and said, okay, well, if we are international, let's go to Davos during the World Economic Forum. So back in January 2020, right before the pandemic shut things down, we traveled to Davos and we were the sponsor of two events in Davos. We're the only group to sponsor both events. And we got up at the conclave and talked about three things that, we believe that we learned being in North America and we thought they could be applicable to Europe. You know, one is the fact that these most geographies, when they open up in cannabis, take a little longer to open up than people expect. The number two point was that it's a biological supply chain, and biological supply chains are inherently unstable. And by that, this comes from my experience working with recombinant hemoglobin back in the early 90s. That when you scale a biological supply chain, they're inherently unstable, which means they tend to break when you scale them up. And that's definitely something that we can talk about here in a second, that definitely the Canadians screwed up. And then US, yeah. Anybody.
Yeah. No. It's a fair point. But, fair point.
And then the other one is the fact that, there'd been very little first mover advantage history in the U.S. Like, for example, Cirna was probably the biggest name brand. Dixie Elixir and Cirna were probably the biggest brands back in 2014, 2015 in cannabis. And that's the thing. Probably most people on this listening to this don't even remember those names. And then, as you know, let's get back to then Canopy Growth, right? That had a bunch of money put into them by Constellation Brands. And let's get back to, kind of how it was blown, but it was not just in Canada, right? There's a lot of these groups, these companies that assume that growing weed is easy. Now, growing weed is easy. Growing really good weed is hard, right?
Right.
So I think that was some of the main things that we learned is the fact that these guys went from, 40,000 square feet to grow to 400,000. They scaled up very quickly. So it gets back to my scale up point. And those things broke, right? And the other problem is that and we also mentioned this in February 2020 at an event called Cannavest that we were actually published in Bloomberg about. And the fact that, and I think you'll agree with this too, Trevor, the problem with the industry, whether it was in Canada or in the US, North America, or other parts too, is the fact there was too much arrogance and too little humility. And it's funny because I've been saying this for now, 3 years? And the reason why I continue to say it is because it's right? And there's still people out there that are arrogant and think it's easy. Or how about all these people that come in from outside of cannabis thinking, oh, well, you guys are idiots. You kind of blown it. I'm smarter than everybody else. And they come in and you know what? They don't last very long either because it's a hard industry.
Right? No, I think those are fair. And yes, all of our Canadian listeners remember when, suddenly entire towns were taken over by greenhouses and, this was going to be the biggest thing ever. And a lot of those greenhouses a couple of years later no longer are growing cannabis in them, but hopefully on the positive spin, hopefully, like you said, the people who are growing good weed are continuing on and, it'll mature. It'll mature into something that actually helps people out.
Well, the one thing is too, Dad, Trevor, so I'm in Colorado, right? Colorado is one of the first states. We were the first state.
You guys won. Yeah, you were the first mover.
Yeah, in January 2014. And so we sat down last week with an advisor to our firm, Ron Camerzell. Ron Camerzell was really the leader of the MED. He was head of enforcement for the Department of Revenue, which the MED, the Marijuana Enforcement Division in Colorado, reports into. And, we haven't done things ideally. They did a PubCo bill. They didn't allow public companies early on. And that's one thing that really, actually, if you look at most of the big, really successful companies in the U.S. or the MSOs are in Illinois or other states. They're not in Colorado, right? So Colorado really kind of screwed that up. And then Ron was saying last week that one of the things we need to start looking at here in the U.S. is kind of relinquishing some of this overregulation. I mean, for example, you know, one of the problems here in the U.S. is the illicit market.
Yeah.
So that's a problem that the U.S. has really screwed up, is we continue to overtax a lot of this. You know, you have 280E you're dealing with, and it's hard to compete with the illicit market when you have so much overregulation, so much taxation, and et cetera. It makes it hard to compete. So yeah, the U.S. is certainly not without its warts too.
No, fair enough. And yeah, don't talk to a Canadian about overregulation, overtaxation. That is our bread and butter. We do that way too well. Okay, so we're getting a little short on time. So before I have you on here to pick your brain a little bit. So put on, you know, your future looking 5 years down the road glass. You know, you're now back from Germany. You've collected so much new info there. So where's the cannabis industry going? Are we going towards, we'll call it the pharma route, where we're picking out one cannabinoid, matching it to one indication? Do you think there is still a place for whole plant medicine? Where, if you've got your crystal ball on, where do you think we're going in the next 5 years?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, for one, we actually just were doing a prep call for this event last week in Berlin. And one of the participants said, where are we going 5 years? And I was like, you know, let's just talk about three.
I can live with three.
Hard enough. So five, there's no way. And the other thing we've always said, Trevor, is that there's no crystal ball in cannabis, at least from our saying, Trevor, is the most predictable thing about cannabis is its unpredictability. Right?
Fair enough.
So, but I mean, a couple of things that are interesting though, and that's, I think, one thing that's pretty exciting about what we're doing. Like, for example, you know, there's a person that's coming to Europe from one of the main investment banks that you've heard of before. And he said that he's going to Europe to see what's going on. And to us, which is kind of funny because, again, you know, as we mentioned, we've had clients in six of the seven continents. We've been going over to Europe for a number of years. Yeah, a couple of things that I think are interesting. You know, for example, we published an article, if you guys want to look it up, in the Global Cannabis Times. I think it was late last year on some of the five countries to watch.
Okay.
And that's the cool thing about what we're doing, Trevor, is, you know, you talk to, you know, see these investment banks, and the reason why they're all getting out of cannabis, because they're looking at it in the wrong perspective. They're all looking at it in North America. They're beholden to North American deals, and there's no deals getting done here. So of course they're going to get out of it because they're not making any money. But yeah, we're seeing some interesting things. Like, for example, Weed Care, the Weed Care program in Switzerland. Everybody's saying how Germany is the leader. And frankly speaking, right now, I don't think Germany is the leader. I mean, Germany had an Eckpunkt declaration come out that they kind of, this last year, have kind of changed their direction. You know, they want to do some social clubs and they're allowing, you know, home growing, but they're taking more of an incremental step, which is fine. I mean, that's kind of getting to your point. It's maybe more incremental, better than what some of the things we've seen in both Canada and the U.S. But in Switzerland, they're rolling it out in different cities. Basel, I believe, was the first one. Zurich, now Lausanne. And the Weed Care program is in Switzerland is adult use. It's very limited number of patients. And they're essentially going to study the effect on these limited patients in each city over the next two and a half years. And it's adult use marijuana. The cool thing is that it's under the FOPH, I believe, is the Federal Office of Public Health in Switzerland, but also the UN, which, as you guys know, if people are listening and they're aware of what's going on internationally, one of the big issues is the UN Single Convention of 1961. And the fact that you're not supposed to be able to import or export narcotics across borders, right? And so that's been one of the big, in Europe, you don't have 280E. In Europe, you do have the issue with the Single Convention of 61. But the cool thing about the Weed Care program is the UN Narcotics Board is a part of that program, or certainly I think they gave it kind of their seal of approval. So I think that's going to be interesting. Malaysia, that's crazy. Malaysia looks like they're legalizing it. If anybody knows the history of Malaysia, they had, I think, in early 1950s, after colonial rule, they essentially had a zero tolerance policy on narcotics, right? So if you were an Australian traveling to Malaysia, which unfortunately happened every now and then back in the 80s, if you were busted with any kind of drug, you were essentially, it was capital punishment, right? There's a number of Australians, right? So Malaysia used to have capital punishment for any zero tolerance policy. And it turns out now it looks like they're going to legalize. Czechia or Czech Republic, they look like they're on the forefront. You have Germany. And so the next, I think the one thing I will say is, you know, North America had better watch it, because, you know, we may not be the leading, U.S. or Canada or both might not be the leading market for cannabis in the next couple of years, because it might end up falling into Switzerland and Europe or some other country.
I think that's a wonderful place to wrap up. So I'll end with what I usually end with. Did I miss anything? You know, we've been a little all over the place, but is there anything you wish I'd asked or think that the listeners really, really should know about, we'll say, in general, capital markets and cannabis?
Trevor, we did miss a lot of stuff, but that's cannabis, right?
Yeah.
You can never cover everything and cover all the points. But, you know, again, I think that's one thing that's made us successful. And the fact that, you know, a high degree of humility that, you know, we've been around the block and we've been doing this for a while, but that doesn't mean we're the smartest guys in the room. And, it's a hard industry. And you just have some degree of humility and keep your expectations real. I think that's the best way to solve it. But yeah, if anybody wants to reach out to what Matt Dougherty and myself do at Golden Eagle Partners, we're on the web and certainly on LinkedIn. We're very active on LinkedIn and love to connect with anybody that's looking to be successful in this industry, because it takes a village.
So Kirk, we have a guy who, like I said, by this point is back from Germany. I'm sure did some other stuff there too, but I liked how he said that he was basically trying to recreate the capital markets part of CanMed in Germany, but, you know, with, you know, European companies, and seeing how they're tackling sort of the European markets, European regulation. I really liked how it was done in Florida, because they were panels. They, you know, you had sort of a few sort of canned questions at the beginning to get the conversation going. But then after that, it really was throw it out to the audience and see what questions they had and sort of have the discussion go from there. And so I thought that was a great way for sort of learning what was going on. And I hope it was equally enlightening over in Germany.
Yeah, pretty impressive portfolio. I went on his webpage and he has relationships. He has a relationship page similar to reefermed.ca. We have a relationship page as well. But his relationship page is quite international. And I noticed that he does have relationships in Vancouver and Toronto. That's where he does touch in Canada. We talk about how different industries define cannabis. How does an investment banker define cannabis?
See if I get his
THC
plus and THC minus. I was going to say that they.
Yeah.
I like the nomenclature. You know, back when we were talking with Marcus Rogan and, you know, him renaming cannabis. This was another. It's another nomenclature that, you know, really kind of makes you think about it a little bit differently, right?
Oh, man. No, these have been fun stories you brought from CanMed. To touch on something a little on a personal note, he talks about Malaysia becoming legal, right? Well, I was in... Michelle and I traveled Malaysia in 1985. We came up from Singapore, took a train to Kuala Lumpur. Then we hitchhiked from Kuala Lumpur into Thailand. 1985, man. Different time, different space. I think Corey Hart had a number one hit, and so did Michael Jackson. And we were, the world was all over the place, because I remember hearing it on the plane. I digress. Coming into Kuala Lumpur on the train, the prison walls, right? And we're talking prison, like it's right near the center of the city. You go by it on the train. Of course, we were traveling by, you know, by our backpacks and going into the hostels. Everybody, Australians, lots of Aussies, right? Lots of Aussies, Malaysia and Thailand and Indonesia. Like, friends of friends that have gone through that prison because cannabis and drugs was bad. They would have graffiti, sanctioned government graffiti on the walls of the prison of hangmen saying, drugs, you die, you know? So it was drugs. Going up to Bangkok and going into Thailand, cannabis could be bought anywhere you want. So people that were traveling north to south, they would have to literally empty out their packs because, of course, they're carrying in Thailand. Not that you're supposed to, but when you got into Malaysia, there was no carrying, man. There was no drugs anywhere because you did not want to go behind those cement walls. So my ears perked up when he was telling that story about Malaysia becoming sanctioned.
Yeah, it's different, like you said, different times. And
and it goes back. Sorry, yeah. Trevor, you see patterns. I see patterns, right? The very first story we talked about was Morocco,
yep,
and them harvesting their first legal cannabis. And to me, that's amazing because I've been hearing about and reading about harvesters in Morocco in novels and stories everywhere. So we've sort of come full circle ourselves. We started with Morocco having their first, and we're talking about Malaysia becoming legal. What's happening to the world?
Well, and just to go back to David, some of the nice things I thought, I've mentioned this before, but it's worth mentioning in the capital market section. I really found that was the dichotomy between sort of when I was at the medical talks, you know, everybody there was very whole plant. You got to use the whole plant to get anything good medicinal. In capital markets, they want to pull it apart because that's how pharma works. You know, we take out a drug from this plant and we aim it at a indication, and that's just the easiest way to get something approved. So, you know, the brilliant, let's make money, or sacrilegious, oh my God, what are you doing to the plant? Example I had was, you know, one guy, and he was a very, I forget his name, but one of the speakers, and he was very pro-cannabis. He himself had a sort of come to Jesus moment with cannabis. You know, he didn't really have any thoughts one way or the other, but he suddenly, as a finance guy, had got a seizure disorder and nothing was treating and couldn't figure it. And long and short of it, he found cannabis fixed his seizure disorder, and he's now a full-fledged medicinal cannabis is the thing guy. But he's also a finance guy. He said, but I don't think I can make any money off the whole plant. He said, you know what I could make money off of? If you took out CBN, one of the cannabinoids that might be related to sleep, and you put it in Colgate toothpaste and you call it Sleepy Time toothpaste, so I would make billions on that. Billions, you know, which, you know, to the green culture, the whole plant people, is just the most sacrilegious thing on the planet, you know, taking out this one thing and putting in toothpaste that might make people possibly sleep a little better. But it was just, I really saw that dichotomy in the capital markets section. But David and some of the other, we'll call them business people, see, you know, the a third way is not impossible. You know, that, you know, maybe we can do some whole plant stuff. Maybe we will have to do some extraction stuff. Maybe we'll have to do a little bit of both. But, you know, because we've talked about stigma a lot, I like that he also talks about stigma and got to be a little bit humble. You know, anyone can grow weed. It's not that easy to grow good weed. Anyone can, you know, extract something from the plant, but, you know, not that easy to extract it properly. You know, a little bit of humility goes a long way. And I thought that was a good thing for a finance guy to have come to grips with.
Accountants, that's how they think, right? There's got to be money in there someplace. So find a big pharmaceutical guy that's following good good manufacturing practices and extracting the resins from a plant, turning it into a medicine that attacks one specific symptom of a disease and give it to big pharma to market. It's how we develop Western medicine, right? So that's how it gets out there.
And I'm going to segue to you because I know you just read it and I can still quote it. In one of the articles that David referenced, he talked about his five sort of predictions. I know you read through that. What were his sort of
five
cannabis predictions?
Well, the first one is surviving 2023 will be a strong predictor of the future successes in North America and internationally. So businesses that get through 2023 probably have some legs. The stigma harming cannabis will continue to fall away. Well, I think that's a no-brainer. It's happening. I mean, it's happening in Kuala Lumpur of all places, and it's and Switzerland. It's happening there. He's talking about it. Okay, and science will play a growing role. We just learned that with all the biotech companies coming into play. Export isn't as easy as it sounds. The compliance lawyer talked a lot about that, Ryan.
Yeah, like even state to state in the U.S. and definitely getting stuff Canada to the U.S., U.S. to Canada, not an easy thing.
David Crosby talked about it, trying to get himself marketed, you know, his Mighty Cross brand. It was very difficult. Conflict over IPs is set to explode. So basically, I guess that's when you start getting into the market and the stocks, eh?
Well, and what Ryan Colcott was talking about, you know, your brand, you know, you got a state level trademark, but you know, right at the moment in the U.S., there's no national trademark because it's not legal nationally. And you know, what happens when you know we have brand X in you know Massachusetts and the same brand name in Colorado, and suddenly it goes legal nationally? Well, who has the trademark? You know, IP like that will be. The lawyers will make
whoever
a lot of money
has
off
the
of
most
that.
Money. Whoever has the most money wins.
Maybe.
Well, Budweiser proved that. I think McDonald's has proved that over and over again. But boy, this is a long one. These were good. These were three very good episodes. The last
three. Yeah, no, they were a lot of fun to do. Again, constantly amazed that we phone up smart people and ask them questions, and they say, sure, we'll chat.
Yeah. Well, again, congratulations. These were nice stories to put in our little podcast.
No, I think they worked out well. But we should probably do the intro that we always now do as an outro. So I'm Trevor Shufeldt. I'm the pharmacist.
I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse. And we are Reefer Medness, the podcast. We are found at reefermed.ca. We have a very interactive webpage. Give us a rating on that podcast platform you listen to. Tell a friend. Reefer Medness, the podcast.
Come back. It's been another good one.
Well, that was another good one, Trevor. Way to go. It's Renee here back at the studio. A couple of last things to wrap up this episode. One is that here at Reefer Medness, the podcast, we like to acknowledge that we produce the shows on Treaty 2 territory and the homeland of the Métis. And we pay our respects to the First Nations and Métis ancestors of this land. And we reaffirm our relationships. We also end the episodes with a song. And this one is a request by Kirk, who was at Dauphin's Country Fest a few weeks ago, where he saw John Fogerty and also John Fogerty's kids. And they've got a band called Hardy Har. And so the song that Kirk has chosen is their song, Scream and Shout.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Medness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Medness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next. Talk to you later.
Shine on the phone. is howling, lunar psychotic sounds. Best you raise a holler and scream and shout.
And I'm hitting record on this. No, not on this computer. Fork off. Ignore that. That's not real. Record to cloud. Okay, that one's real. All right.